heavy fire throughout the building, all three floors. The home's been remodeled several times, so it made the traditional searches a little more difficult.
You are hearing from the fire chief for the North Haven Fire Department. That is brand new sound that we just got today from our partners at NewsAid. Right now in North Haven, they are investigating a deadly fire in the overnight hours. It claimed the lives of an 8-year-old and an elderly relative of that little boy. So for good reason, we focus so much when we hear stories like that on the family, the community, the school, the many friends and family, the neighbors, the people who knew these victims. And again, for good reason. We then focus on, well, how could this have happened? And what can we do to better protect ourselves and our homes? And God forbid if a fire were to happen. And that's sort of where the story ends. And we move on with our lives. But there's one key population that a lot of times will get overlooked by the general public. That's the first responders. The firefighters, the police officers, the EMS workers who are on scene and seeing horrific reality on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis, whatever that may be. And who's there to take care of them and to really help them process and move forward in a healthy way? I was so excited to get connected to the Fairfield County Trauma Response Team a few years back. It's a nonprofit alliance of mental health professionals who have dedicated their time to helping first responders and the Connecticut community heal from trauma, tragedy, and stress like what we're talking about in this North Haven situation. Linda Ross is part of that team and joins us now. Linda, thank you so much for making the time. We really appreciate it. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Melissa. And I want to thank you for that beautiful introduction. And just as a sidebar, it's sort of ironic that you bring up that fire in North Haven with a child and an elderly relative as fatalities, because that's how we got started.
Mm-hmm.
We began with the Stamford Christmas Day fire a number of years ago, which was horrific. And three children died and two grandparents. And that there were 70 firefighters on that call who were clearly traumatized by what they saw and smelled. That's a biggie. And when they called for help, there was no one there. It was Christmas Day, and they were told that they would have to wait until after the holidays. Trauma doesn't wait.
Exactly. I mean, it was interesting, Linda, because I knew you were coming on today. And obviously, you can't predict what the news is going to bring. But immediately, when I was watching in the 3 o'clock and the 4 o'clock and the 5 o'clock hours on the news channels, this fire chief, he's so composed. I mean, he's so well-spoken and composed and calm. And only from talking to and working with people like you do I know that that is such a front. And maybe he has seen a lot in his career. I don't know this person personally. But, I mean, talk about the fact that we, just as a society, we sort of kind of become numb to the idea that there are real people who a lot of times have real families and real situations that weigh on them when they are responding to these calls. But they may never actually reflect on it and maybe get help for it and in a healthy way move forward from those situations.
That's very true. And when we first got started about 15 years ago, we had to really fight their reluctance to deal with their trauma. This is the job that we signed up for. So we suck it up and we move ahead. And if you give in to any feelings, if you even admit to them, then you're kind of a sissy, frankly.
Right.
It took a lot of work to help remove the stigma around going for mental health. And the fire service in particular has responded absolutely beautifully and done so much work to help promote what they've been through in terms of mental health and send the message out to others.
So I want to talk about what exactly the work is that Fairfield County Trauma Response Team does. And again, we have Linda Ross here to talk about it. So what do you do if you have a first responder who is currently serving or is retired? How does that work? They connect with you, and then what happens?
They connect with us usually through another peer or through our website when you can request a therapist, and it depends on the situation. We do a number of things. We go out and do debriefings for various departments if there's been a terrible call. And one of the really nice things is that all the cultures are different. I want to stress that. Firefighters are not the same as police officers, are not the same as paramedics. They all have their own issues and perspectives. But they're all coming together now in the debriefs and sharing information with one another. And that includes dispatch. I don't want to leave them out either. They're the first ones not physically on the scene. But the first
but taking
one
that
is to get the call.
Sure.
Yeah. And then they never hear what happens. And traditionally, they have not been included in these debriefings or diffusings. Now they are. So that's another really important gain we've achieved. So to answer your question more fully, we do the debriefings, we do the diffusings. The difference is diffusings happen right away to make sure everybody's okay. And then debriefings occur 3 days later to see what the aftermath is like. We respond to mass disasters, such as the horrific shootings in Newtown. We were there for over a year, and actually sometimes we'll get someone coming in for a tune-up. It's easy to get re-triggered, and we still see some of those clients in our offices. So we do trainings. We go into the departments, and we talk about what trauma is, how it gets embodied in your body, and what the results of that can turn out to be. And you mentioned, and I'm so happy that you did, you mentioned retirees. Mm. They have really been a forgotten population. And we've had people who have retired or are thinking about retiring who have all kinds of issues around it. They're losing, if you will, their family. They're losing their importance. They're losing their uniforms. They're losing the ability to save somebody's life. And a lot of them feel lost and useless. And we have just started a group for retirees, which has been very, very helpful. So we want to continue to do that work with them, because retiring for a first responder is a trauma in and of itself.
Linda Ross is with us from Fairfield County Trauma Response Team. Linda, I don't even think I properly introduced you in your role specific to Fairfield County Trauma Response Team. What do you do with them?
Oh, well, I was actually one of the founding members of the team. We were very grassroots in the beginning. I think there were six of us. And we went to Stanford to help the firefighters with the call that I described earlier. Mm-hmm. And we started to organize ourselves and think how we were going to provide services. We didn't even have an awareness that these folks were not getting any therapeutic services at all. Mm-hmm. This was all new information for us. So if you know therapists, they can talk and talk and talk. And then Newtown happened and there was no more time for talking. It was very much boots on the ground. And we went out and we had office space in Newtown, actually, that was donated to us. And we worked with police officers, particularly the state police, and families and teachers and students. And it was a very rough year for everybody, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do individual work. If someone wants to come in for therapy, that is one of the services we do not offer pro bono. Everything else we do is pro bono, and I'm involved in all of that, as we all are. If someone wants to come in for therapy, we make it work financially. We have never turned anybody away for lack of financial ability to pay. And that's pretty much what I do, which is what we all do. And the intensity of the work, I don't want to come across as a martyr, because I love the work, as we all do. I mean, you have to really be into this stuff to do it capably. And we're all like that. It's our passion. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we've become like a family. We have grown now, so we're an awfully big family. We started with 6 people, and we are in 2 additional counties now. We have a team going in Hartford County, and we have a team forming in Litchfield County.
Wow.
So we have really expanded, and that's due to people's generosity. We don't get any state or federal funding. We're all private donations. And you mentioned that we're having a fundraiser this coming Thursday, the 6th of November. The really heartwarming thing was the first donations we got were all from the various departments, the police, paramedic, and fire.
I'm sure.
They all chipped in and made this a go for us.
So it's interesting, Linda, because I've obviously talked to you before. I've talked to Dawn. And I've actually talked to some of the people who have been impacted by your services. Going back to Stamford, we spoke with one of the Stamford firefighters who was very much traumatized by that Christmas fire and responded to it, and said that Fairfield County Trauma Response Team literally changed the way he could go about his day to day. I mean, it was just our interview. I mean, is something that is completely like in my brain for life. So I can't even imagine the amount of those types of stories you guys hear, because this is your population. This is who you're working with. I do quickly want to bring up that there's a variety of different services you guys offer depending on who that person is and what they are looking for. You do dabble with EMDR though, right? That's still something that you do, because I remember the Stamford firefighter in particular used that and said it was incredible.
Well, we don't dabble in it. That's what we believe is the most effective therapy for trauma. And we certainly believe it's the most effective therapy for first responders who don't want to come to therapy in the first place. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to spend 10 years on the couch talking about their relationship with their mother. EMDR is a fast, effective way of clearing out what is stored in your neural networks. It moves the toxic material through bilateral stimulation, which is non-invasive, and a specific protocol that identifies thoughts, feelings, and what's in your body. And that's very innovative. EMDR was one of the first therapies, if not the first, to identify what happens in the body. You may be familiar with the book by Bessel van der Kolk called mm-hmm. The Body Keeps the Score. And we believe that. And the first responders love it because mm-hmm. it's fast and effective. Hopefully you get in, you get out, and you go back, and you feel completely different. You feel clear. You feel more focused. You do not lose your edge in terms of being a responder. And if you need to come in later for a tune-up, you can do it in 1 or 2 sessions. So it's been really, really helpful, and it's a requirement of our team that everyone who joins us must be trained in EMDR.
Yeah, which, by the way, is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Which
the worst name ever.
But you know, listen, EMDR. That's why we do the that. And
right.
By the way, when we do link your website, there are so many resources that Fairfield County Trauma Response Team it provides to the public. It's on their website, and I'm going to link that to this podcast with Linda Ross on voiceofct.com, so you can learn more. I want to make sure that we also get attention for this upcoming week. On Thursday, you have a really important event that's going on, and really can help fundraise for the efforts that you're doing. Just want to make sure people know about it.
Yes, it's this Thursday, as you said. It starts at 7. It's at the Fairfield Community Theater in the warehouse, and it will be fun. We did this 2 years ago, and we had a panel of first responders explaining what they do and who they are. And it was very, very helpful. But this year is just going to be focused on fun. We're having barbecue, live music, and an auction. And we have a few tickets left, and we'd love to have you all come.
Yeah, and we're going to, again, put the link on our website, voiceofct.com. Tickets available. We're going in, I think is what you guys call the event, which yes. I love that. I think that's so telling, and it's beautiful. And again, it is this upcoming Thursday night, 7 o'clock, here in Fairfield at the Fairfield Theater Company. And again, if you want more information, and even if you can't go to the event on Thursday, if you want more information and are then pulled to donate, we're going to give you all that information on our website, voiceofct.com, a link to theirs, and to learn more and to get involved, certainly. And Linda Ross, I want to thank you and every member of the team at Fairfield County Response Team for what you do. It is work that is just so needed. And I love hearing that you guys are expanding to more counties. That makes me so happy. And so I hope that it's a great success this upcoming fundraiser and you continue to have growing success, because we need it. We really do.
Yeah, well, thank you, Melissa. And you are a wonderful interviewer, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Well, I appreciate that. Listen, I'd love to keep my job, so thank you so much. I appreciate that, Linda Ross.
I can write you a letter if you want.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I always appreciate it. And really, thank you for the time and for what you do, Linda. It is truly important work to support our first responders. So continue the great work, and I hope it's a great fundraiser this upcoming week.
Hope to see you there.
All right. Yes, I'm hoping to be there, Linda. I am working my tail off to find somebody to watch my kid. And if I can, I am going to be there. Thank you so much. Again, Linda Ross with the Fairfield County Trauma Response Team. We will put more information on this podcast at voiceofct.com.